Verse 3. Six things that partake of true knowledge. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Rajagaha, in the bamboo grove, the squirrel sanctuary. Now, on that occasion, the lay follower Dighavu was sick, afflicted, gravely ill. Then the lay follower Dighavu addressed his father, the householder Jotaika, thus, "Come, householder, approach the Blessed One. Pay homage to him in my name with your head at his feet and say, 'Venerable sir, the lay follower Dighavu is sick, afflicted, gravely ill. He pays homage to the Blessed One with his head at the Blessed One's feet.' Then say, 'It would be good, venerable sir, if the Blessed One would come to the residence of the lay follower Dighavu out of compassion.'" "Yes, dear," the householder Jotaika replied, and he approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and delivered his message. The Blessed One consented by silence. Then the Blessed One, dressed and taking bowl and robe, went to the residence of the lay follower Dighavu. He then sat down in the appointed seat and said to the lay follower Dighavu, "I hope you are bearing up, Dighavu. I hope you are getting better. I hope your painful feelings are subsiding and not increasing, and that their subsiding, not their increase, is to be discerned." "Venerable sir, I am not bearing up. I am not getting better. Strong, painful feelings are increasing in me, not subsiding, and their increase, not their subsiding, is to be discerned. Therefore, Dighavu, you should train yourself thus. I will be one who has confirmed confidence in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and who observes the moral virtues dear to the noble ones, unbroken, untorn, unblemished, unmodeled, freeing, praised by the wise, ungrasped, leading to concentration. It is in such a way that you should train yourself. Venerable sir, as to these four factors of stream entry that have been taught by the Blessed One, these things exist in me, and I live in conformity with those things. For, venerable sir, I have confirmed confidence in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and I observe the moral virtues dear to the noble ones. Therefore, Dighavu, established upon these four factors of stream entry, you should develop further six things that partake of true knowledge." Here, Dighavu, well contemplating impermanence in all formations, perceiving suffering in what is impermanent, perceiving non-self in what is suffering, perceiving abandonment, perceiving fading away, perceiving cessation. It is in such a way that you should train yourself. "Venerable sir, as to these six things that partake of true knowledge that have been taught by the Blessed One, these things exist in me, and I live in conformity with those things. For, venerable sir, I dwell contemplating impermanence in all formations, perceiving suffering in what is impermanent, perceiving non-self in what is suffering, perceiving abandonment, perceiving fading away, perceiving cessation. However, venerable sir, I hope that after I expire, my father won't be distressed." "Don't be concerned about this, dear Dighavu. Come now, dear Dighavu. Pay close attention to what the Blessed One is saying to you." Then the Blessed One, having given his exhortation to the lay follower Dighavu, rose from his seat and departed. Then, not long after the Blessed One had left, the lay follower Dighavu died. Then a number of monks approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side and said, "Venerable sir, the lay follower Dighavu has died. What is his destination? Where was he reborn?" "Monks, the lay follower Dighavu was wise. He practiced in accordance with the Dhamma and did not trouble me on account of the Dhamma. With the utter destruction of the five lower fetters, the lay follower Dighavu has become one of spontaneous birth in the pure abodes, due to attain Nibbana there without returning from that world." Samyutta Nikaya 55.3 5. 344 through 346. Verse 4. Five kinds of non-returners. Monks, when these seven factors of enlightenment have been developed and cultivated in this way, seven fruits and benefits may be expected. What are the seven fruits and benefits? One attains final knowledge of arahantship early in this very life. If he does not attain final knowledge early in this very life, then one attains final knowledge at the time of death. If one does not attain final knowledge early in this very life or at the time of death, then with the utter destruction of the five lower fetters, one attains nibbana in the interval. If one does not attain final knowledge early in this very life or attain nibbana in the interval, then with the utter destruction of the five lower fetters, one attains nibbana upon landing. If one does not attain final knowledge early in this very life, or attain nibbana upon landing, then with the utter destruction of the five lower fetters, one attains nibbana without volitional exertion. If one does not attain final knowledge early in this very life, or attain nibbana without volitional exertion, then with the utter destruction of the five lower fetters, one attains nibbana with volitional exertion. If one does not attain final knowledge early in this very life, or attain nibbana with volitional exertion, then with the utter destruction of the five lower fetters, one becomes one bound upstream, heading toward the Akanitta realm. When, monks, the seven factors of enlightenment have been developed and cultivated in this way, these seven fruits and benefits may be expected. Samyutta Nikaya 46.3 5. 69 through 70. Part 4. The Arahant. Verse 1. Removing the residual conceit, I am. On one occasion, a number of elder monks were dwelling at Kosambi, in Gosita's park. Now, on that occasion, the Venerable Hemaka was living at Jujubee Tree Park, sick, afflicted, gravely ill. Then, in the evening, those elder monks emerged from seclusion and addressed the Venerable Dasaka thus, "Come, friend Dasaka, approach the monk Hemaka and say to him, 'The elders say to you, friend Hemaka, we hope that you are bearing up, friend. We hope that you are getting better. We hope that your painful feelings are subsiding and not increasing, and that their subsiding, not their increase, is to be discerned.' 'Yes, friends,' the Venerable Dasaka replied, and he approached the Venerable Hemaka and delivered his message. The Venerable Hemaka answered, 'I am not bearing up, friend. I am not getting better. Strong painful feelings are increasing in me, not subsiding, and their increase, not their subsiding, is to be discerned.' Then the Venerable Dasaka approached the elder monks and reported what the Venerable Hemaka had said. They told him, 'Come, friend Dasaka, approach the monk Hemaka and say to him, "The elders say to you, friend Hemaka, these five aggregates subject to clinging have been spoken of by the Blessed One, that is, form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Does the Venerable Hemaka regard anything as self or as belonging to self among these five aggregates subject to clinging?' 'Yes, friends,' the Venerable Dasaka replied, and he approached the Venerable Hemaka and delivered his message. The Venerable Hemaka replied, 'These five aggregates subject to clinging have been spoken of by the Blessed One, that is, form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Among these five aggregates subject to clinging, I do not regard anything as self or as belonging to self.' Then the Venerable Dasaka approached the elder monks and reported what the Venerable Hemaka had said. They replied, 'Come, friend Dasaka, approach the monk Hemaka and say to him, "If the Venerable Hemaka does not regard anything among these five aggregates as self or as belonging to self, then he is an arahant, one whose taints are destroyed."' 'Yes, friends,' the Venerable Dasaka replied, and he approached the Venerable Hemaka and delivered his message. The Venerable Hemaka replied, "These five aggregates subject to clinging have been spoken of by the Blessed One. That is, form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. I do not regard anything among these five aggregates subject to clinging as self or as belonging to self, yet I am not an arahant, one whose taints are destroyed. Friends, the notion I am has not yet vanished in me in relation to these five aggregates subject to clinging, but I do not regard anything among them as this I am." Then the Venerable Dasaka approached the elder monks and reported what the Venerable Hemaka had said. They replied, "Come, friend Dasaka, approach the monk Hemaka and say to him, 'The elders say to you, friend Hemaka, friend Hemaka, when you speak of this, I am, what is it that you speak of as I am? Do you speak of form as I am? Or do you speak of I am apart from form? Do you speak of feeling, of perception, of volitional formations, of consciousness as I am? Or do you speak of I am apart from consciousness? When you speak of this I am, friend Hemaka, what is it that you speak of as I am?" "Yes, friends," the Venerable Dasaka replied, and he approached the Venerable Hemaka and delivered his message. "Enough, friend Dasaka. Why keep running back and forth? Bring me my staff, friend. I'll go to the elder monks myself." Then the Venerable Hemaka, leaning on his staff, approached the elder monks, exchanged greetings with them, and sat down to one side. The elder monks then said to him, "Friend Hemaka, when you speak of this, I am, what is it that you speak of as I am?" "Friends, I do not speak of form as I am, nor do I speak of I am apart from form. I do not speak of feelings as I am, nor of perception as I am, nor of volitional formations as I am, nor of consciousness as I am, nor do I speak of I am apart from consciousness.